Okay, well, it looks like it's about time to start. So let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have allowed us to gather together to study your word. And as we begin, Lord, we ask that you would send your spirit of discernment among us, Lord, so that we can better understand who you are and what you did for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here we go. I remember, I think it was probably toward the end of Amos that I said I wanted to put together a study about Adam and Jesus. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Okay, well, so we did a bunch of other things so I could get this study together. I did not want to start today. I didn't want to start that study. But through a series of nefarious and unfortunate acts, we are starting that study together today. So it's not what I had planned, but this is what we're going to do. So if it seems a little disjointed or a little whatever, just raise your hand and we'll try and clarify a few things.
Something you were supposed to do.
What's that?
Something you were supposed to do today.
Yes, but no. It's way too long of a story. So let's just act like this is what we're going to do. Okay. So what we're going to do, hopefully, starting today, we'll see how long it goes, is we're going to look at Jesus and Adam together. Okay. And so what do I mean by that? Well, I don't recall when it was. I think, let's see if I remember right. Last year we did this study, last spring we did the study of looking at the Lord's Supper through Jewish eyes. Remember that last fall? Okay. And I think that this is where I read something about Jesus being called the second Adam. Okay, we all know who Adam is, right? And Jesus is the second Adam. And, you know, and the more I kind of heard, the more I thought, well, that might be kind of something interesting to look into. What do we mean when we say that? Okay, so I think we can all agree that Jesus, yes, second Adam. We say that. We see that because our theology says it. Scripture tells us that. You know, in Paul's writings, we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But I began to think to myself, why is Jesus called that specifically, the second Adam? And when you say the second Adam, it really depends on the translation that you're reading. Some of them say the next Adam, or some say the second Adam. We'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, just in case you haven't heard that, I wanted to sort of clarify that. So what are we going to do? Well, the first thing that we got to do is we got to find out in Scripture where Jesus is called the second Adam or the next Adam. Well, there's two places there. So I want to get these just on the board, out of the way first. Romans 5:14. So let's turn to Romans 5:14. Because this is actually the first place I went to when looking at this. Okay. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Somebody out here is going to have to has an ESV, so we'll get a couple of different shots at it here. Romans 5:14. Okay, 5:14. You probably have a little heading on there that says death through Adam, life through Jesus, or something like that at the top of that. Paragraph. Okay, so that kind of gives you an idea where we're going here. So 5:14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come." Okay? So just sort of hold that thought in your head. And let's go to the second proof text for this, and that is 1 Corinthians 15, so you don't have to go very far. It's just the next one over. 1 Corinthians 15. And that is verse 45. So 1 Corinthians 15, 45. So this one says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So, any comments on that? Any comments on the Romans one first? Or that one? It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Okay? No thoughts on this? Has anybody read these before? Do these sound familiar to anyone? Okay, Bev's raising her hand. Okay. So, no comments? Well, this is going to be a quick class. We'll be out here in no time. I got a Grastimo, so let's keep going here. So, if our theology states that Jesus is the second Adam, we've kind of already, nobody disagreed with that, so we'll just kind of work with that theory. And all we use is Paul's writings in Romans and 1 Corinthians, because anytime you look up anything that says, how do we know that Jesus is the second Adam? These two verses come up. Okay, these are it. So, if all we're doing is looking at Paul's writings in Romans and 1 Corinthians, they don't tell us very much at all, do they? They don't. Okay. So here's where I'm going with this, in case you haven't guessed already. Now, I have said countless times in class that Scripture always moves from lesser to greater. Correct?
Yes.
You guys have heard me say that 1,000 times.
Yes.
So when someone is foretold as coming, when we're reading about somebody coming, particularly in the Old Testament, or that an action is going to take place through one of the prophets, foretold through one of the prophets, it's always greater than the original one. Always, right?
Right.
Okay. Just in case, I wrote it down, so I'm going to say it. Super easy example. The new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
It's better than the first one. Right? God says it's going to come. Okay. What is coming is never less than what was. So then let's go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. We're going to kind of flip-flop back between these two verses. I should have had a PowerPoint with them up here. That would have been easier. So let's go back to Romans. Somebody read that. That's not reading the NIV. Somebody read a different version of that.
14.
14.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him, capital, who was to come.
Okay, somebody have the NIV? I mean the ESV?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody read the ESV. Okay, so we keep getting that type word in there. So in this particular verse, what does it tell us about Adam?
He's a pattern.
Okay, he's a type. Okay. Let's hold off on type for just a second.
He was born sinless. He was created sinless.
No, that's not what the verse says.
No.
Just all we want is what the verse says. I don't want anybody to tell me what they think about this. Tell me what the verse says.
It says death reigned.
Okay, death reigned. So what does that mean?
Death was king.
No, that means Adam died. Okay?
Adam
yes.
Died and death reigned.
Death reigned from the time of Adam. That means Adam died.
Okay.
To the time of Moses. Yeah, Moses died too.
Yeah.
Even those who did not sin by breaking a command. What command are we talking about? Breaking a command. Are we talking about the Ten Commandments?
No, not yet.
Not yet, no.
We eat from the tree.
The tree, yeah. Adam sinned by breaking God's... God gave him a very specific command. The Ten Commandments are sort of a general overarching thing for all humanity. Adam got one thing.
He
got one rule.
Yeah.
And he broke it. Okay. So, that means that Adam... Why does Adam die? Because he...
Because he broke the rules.
Because he sinned.
He sinned.
Right. And the NIV says... Or the ESV says transgressions. Something around there. So the two... What are the two things that we learn about Adam in this verse?
Sinned and he died.
Very good. What does this verse tell us about Jesus?
Well, but he's yet to come.
What's that?
He's yet to come.
Okay. He's going to come. He is the one. No, it doesn't say Jesus. It says one. Context tells us it's Jesus. You know, we can't forget that. Okay. What else does it tell us about Jesus?
It's a type.
He's a type. Right. Okay. Well, I have the biblical definition of what a type is. And I brought this I brought a proof text here. I don't know if that's what it's called. But I just want to make sure we all have our definitions in line here for page 1904. Okay. Type, where'd you go? Type, Greek, typos. I mean, it's like our word, right? Typos. Of an object, a, quote, shape or, quote, model of ideas, a, quote, pattern, as in English, prototype. That means like the first one. Paul saw in the Old Testament persons and events examples for teaching Christians and also prophetic prototypes of New Testament persons and events. So, when Paul writes that Jesus is a type, he is in what? He's in the form, he's in the shape, he's in the likeness of who?
Adam.
Okay, well, what do we know about Adam so far?
He sinned and died.
He sinned and he died. Okay, so this is not really hard to be better than that, right? Okay, I mean, it's not really saying a whole lot here, right? So what we get from this is one is coming who looks like the one before. Basically what this verse is telling us, right? One is coming that looks like the one that came before. The before... is Adam, of course, we know that, and context tells us that the one is Jesus. No secret. Anything else in this verse about Adam and Jesus?
About
Adam and Jesus. Anything else that we can kind of pick out from there? Yeah, well.
May I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing that always bothered me, you and I talked about it once before, is how the translators, some words they translate and some words they transliterate.
Right.
They take the word in transliteration and use the same word in the original language. And that's what we're seeing here in this. It's always bothered me, and I couldn't figure that out until right now. Because here's an interesting thing. It says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over once sitting in, it's not like the transgression. And then it goes over that Adam was a type of the one to come.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing that strikes me. Adam is two words in Hebrew.
Okay, we're going to get a lot into that pretty soon.
Okay, then I'll hold off.
Okay, yeah, do that. Okay, so we have. Okay, so now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. We're going to do the same thing we just did. Okay. What is it? It's 1 Corinthians 15:45. Okay, so The context of this is the resurrection of the body. Okay? And I'm going to preface this by starting at verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It must be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Okay, verse 45. Somebody in the ESV read that.
Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Okay, so now we're putting a little bit more on here. Now, what does that verse 45 tell us about Adam?
That there'll be no more.
No. 45.
Yes.
He's going to die.
What does it tell us about Adam?
He's a living being.
Living being. Living being, okay? He's a living being.
The last one's a living spirit.
Okay. And who is the last one?
Jesus.
By context tells us it's Jesus. What is he again?
Life-giving.
He's a life-giving spirit. Okay. Is this all we see? In this verse, is this all that we learn?
Tells me that the spiritual did not come first.
Is this all that we learn about Jesus and all that we learn about Adam?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a look at that. So what have we learned so far? We learned that Adam lived. Adam sinned. Adam died. Did I miss anything?
No.
Pretty sure that's it, right? So this is what we've got. Adam lived, or he was a living being. It's kind of saying the same thing. Okay. Adam wasn't created and just laid there for 2 years before he sinned. He was alive. Okay. And now I'll put Jesus in red because his blood forgives our sins. How's that? Is that something? So now we have Jesus. And what have we learned about Jesus so far?
Well, he lived.
That's not what the text said, but anyway. He was one to come.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And Jesus is the last. Okay. The last Adam. And Jesus, and the only reason we know it's Jesus is because we've read the story before, right? Life-giving spirit. Okay? So, from the two proof texts that everybody says makes Jesus the second Adam, this is all we have to go on. Adam lived, sinned, died. Jesus was to come, was to be the last one, and he was a life-giving spirit. Does it seem like something's missing?
Yeah. What about the pattern?
What's that?
What about the pattern that Jesus or Adam was a pattern?
That's the type, yeah.
Okay, what about that part? Isn't that part of the
He's the one to come because, see, we're working on the assumption that we're moving from lesser to greater. So this is the pattern Jesus has to go off of.
Yes. Yes.
That's not a huge stretch, is it, to go to greater here? Okay. Let me see where I am in my notes here. Okay. Something seems to be missing. There something is missing in our jump from lesser to greater.
The sin part.
Jesus didn't sin.
No.
Adam did.
It's not the same.
Oh my gosh, everybody's overthinking this too much. Let's look at, I'll help by making an example here. Let's look at Moses, at the life of Moses. What are, I can name three things very specifically that Moses did. He led the people. He talked to God. God spoke to him.
Yes.
And then he took the words that God spoke to him and told them to the people. Okay. Then God said what? I will send one greater than Moses. And who do we know that to be?
Jesus.
What kind of things did Jesus do?
Lots of miracles.
Led the people. He talked to God. He spoke God's word to the people. He did the same things as Moses did, only better. Lesser to greater. Okay. So he becomes kind of the second Moses. So he does these things. Let's do something. We can name an example even simpler. How about David and Solomon? David was a great king. He expanded the nation. He talked to God. He told people what he said, right? But then his son comes along, does all of the same things, and builds the temple, and sets up the worship system in Jerusalem. He took what David did and did it better because he was the next one to come, right? So from what we have so far, the only lesser to greater is what? Adam lived and Jesus lived. Adam died
and
Jesus died. But he rose again. So far, that's it. So then my contention is that there's something missing.
Adam didn't do any miracles.
What's that?
Adam didn't do any miracles.
You know, in reality, nobody did. Moses did a couple, you know. But
yeah.
Okay. Here's my contention. Because you cannot make this same lesser to greater comparison. The comparison that we have right now with Jesus, Adam died, Jesus died, can be made with any other human in the Old Testament right up until the time of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, you can say it about Noah, you can say it about Abraham, you can say it about Moses, David, you can even say it about Mary and Joseph. Okay, so there's something missing. There's more. The only way then to find out what it is we have to get into a deep dive into who? Adam. How much do we know about Adam?
Well, we know very little.
We know very little. Why?
Because
it's only a few verses. We read it, we skip over, we're done, we get to the big sin, and we're off to the races.
And John's raised his hand. He was made from the creation.
Okay, we're going to get to that.
Oh.
But
was Jesus?
No.
Jesus was at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, you're already starting to think in terms of how can I compare the two, and you're on the right track. Okay, that's good. Because that's where we want to go. The only way to find out this is to deep dive into Adam. You're probably thinking, okay, well, Adam only shows up in like five verses. How long can this possibly take us to do, right? What are we going
to
do next week?
This is
a good half-hour class here. You might be right, but I don't think so. I think what we're going to find out that Adam is way more complex than a quick reading gives. There's way more to the creation story of Adam and what he does then we pay attention to. Okay? We're going to look and see the way that he interacts with God. How does he interact with creation? How does he interact with Eve? And all of these things are way more in-depth than we give credit for. Because we read, God created Adam and Eve, blah, 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 fruit, okay, now sin, and we get to finally get to the story of Noah, because that's way more fun, right? But there's so much that goes on in those few verses So hopefully a look into Adam will give us a greater sense of how Jesus, how Adam is that type for Jesus. Because right now he's not. He lived, he sinned, he died, according to Romans and to 1 Corinthians. It's not a huge stretch to be better than that.
But God created Adam perfect until he sinned.
Yeah, well.
And Jesus was
still did. Still his life. You know, it doesn't matter how he was created. It's still him. So, okay. So let's go ahead and cover a few more preliminary stuff before we get into this in very deep. Okay, so everybody go to, let's all go to Genesis chapter, which one is it that he's created? 1 and 2.
Yeah,
1 and 2. I got too many books up here.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so where are we first introduced to Adam? Genesis chapter 1:26, right? Not so fast. Let's not go there so quickly. There's a bunch of distinctions that we need to make here, okay? And this is sort of where Walt was going. I'm gonna say what I have to say, and then we'll let Walt correct me if I'm wrong and fill in any gigantic blank spots that there may be. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So for 25 verses, God has been creating, right?
Yes.
Now, this is Elohim who's creating here. Remember, it's Yahweh in the second chapter. It's Elohim in this one. Okay? And if you remember, Elohim is the one who speaks. Yahweh is the one who's the action guy. Right? So in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim is speaking. And what does he say? Let us make man. Now, the first thought, the first place that everybody goes is what? God just said, let us make Adam. Because that's who he makes, right? Okay? Eventually makes Adam. But that is not who we're talking about here. Okay? There's some very strict distinctions between man and Adam and all of this. So here we go. We get to use our Hebrew lessons for the day. Here's the first one. God says, let us make
mankind.
No.
Adam. Okay? And for once, Richard, you were on the right track. In fact, what you could say is, let us make a human, or let us make humans. This is sort of a humanity word. Okay? Because what has God created? Well, was it the light, and then the earth, and then fish and birds, and all the animals got more and more complex, and now he says, let us make... He didn't say, let us make a bird, or a fish, or a cattle for the field. And so in the same way that God is creating, let us make the birds in the sky, the fish in the seas, the cattle in the fields, let us make humans. Humanity. However you want to put it. Okay? So when we first read about this in Genesis, we need to say let us make Adam, okay, because that's not what he's talking about, okay? And how do we know that? Right in that same verse, and let them. This is a plural thing here, okay? So the plan was what? What was the plan?
Make humans.
To make a bunch of people, right? Okay. So you're probably thinking, well, why didn't God make, you know, like 50 people all at once? Well, we'll get to that. Okay? So let us do this. And they're going to have dominion. They're going to do all of those things. So then now we get to, so God created Who? Man. Okay. Is it the same man? Yes. It's still my change is somewhere else. Now what we get is God makes Adama. Bunch of little squiggles down there. Okay. So now what's the change? All humanity, let's make humans. Now we're going to make
a singular.
A man.
A singular.
Yeah, well.
The definite article there is so important.
Yeah.
That's
the little ha.
Yeah. That is so, gives me chills almost.
Yep. So we went from
many
to one. But notice his name, what he's called. Let's make humans. And he made the human.
A human.
Yeah. It's the. This is a definite article in Hebrew.
Okay,
so it's the human. Okay. So now we're finally to Adam. Finally got that. Okay. So this is how Genesis refers to Adam in chapter 1. Okay. So even though you would pronounce this basically transliterated, like Walt was talking about, Adam into English, Adam, it's not his name yet. In fact, it's not his first name. That'll be fun. Okay, what's that?
We don't know his first name.
Well, the first name he gets,
yeah.
Other than the human.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
His name is Adam.
What's that?
His name is Adam.
No, it isn't. Not yet. Not yet. When does he change his name? Well, let's jump over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 27. Okay, so Yahweh has created Eve, took the rib out of Adam. Verse 2:25 then.
No, because it only goes to
24.
It's
25.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I wrote 27 down. I got my own thing here. Okay, so so now what do we got? So Adam, God, Yahweh creates Eve out of Adam, and what does he say?
She shall be called a woman.
Right. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my bones. She shall be called woman. Okay, here we go. This is where it gets fun. She shall be called, make sure I get it right, Isha, she shall be called Isha because she came out of Ish. Adam does not get a name, and we're going to find out why later, but I'm just setting ground rules here. Adam doesn't get a name until after Eve is created. He's no longer the human. What is he? He's man. Now he's a man. Why? Because Eve is a woman. Ish and Isha. Man and woman. Does that make sense? Okay. So when do we start calling Adam Adam? When do we start calling Adam Adam? After they sin.
That's after the fall.
Yeah. It's after they sin. We take this name for humanity. And that's what God calls Adam. Adam. Put these on there. Now you've got a proper name. He goes from generic humanity to a man by himself. He calls himself Ish, man, husband, Isha, woman, wife, and then after he sins, God calls him Adam. Why? Because this is also the same word for dirt.
That's good.
Or ground. And what does he say? What does he say? From dust you came.
Dust
you will return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So already, this is, since we got the ground rules set, this is where we're going to stop. But already, you can see, if you were to read the creation story yesterday, you just kept probably just thinking, Adam, 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 boom, we're gone, we're on to the next deal. But look how more complex this whole thing is, just in his name, and how God refers to him, and how he interacts with him with his name. How many of you have ever thought, well, his name changed after they sinned? No. It's just like when you're reading through the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, who is doing the creating? It's Elohim. Who's doing the creating in chapter 2? It's Yahweh Elohim. And after Adam and Eve sin, God is never referred to again as Yahweh Elohim. All of these things sort of stop when sin enters into the world. Things change. It changes so much, it changes Adam's name. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
So, we'll start next week, is we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, and we're just going to talk about Adam's creation. What's it mean? What's happening? How is all of this stuff coming about? How does he interact? And I think what we're going to find, by the time we get to the end of chapter 3, because that's the last we see of Adam, that we're going to have a much bigger, brighter, fuller picture of who Adam is, other than Adam lived, sinned, and he died. That's too easy. It's too easy. God's word is way too complex for that to be that easy. Okay? So that's where we're going with this. Cross your fingers. See how we do next week. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give us the chance to study some of the most complex stuff in Scripture. But Lord, you are good and you are gracious and you are patient. Even when we don't get it, you still are with us. You still love us. You still forgive our sins. And we are so grateful for that, Lord. So be with us as we embark on this long study. Help us to understand some of these complex relationships that you have with Adam, thereby shedding light on an even greater relationship that you have with your son. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.